Hey, Ricky, did I ever tell you the story about the time that I was in the Oregon woods? Well, really, it started in this small little town where I was being harassed by some no-good local policemen.
I've never heard this tale, no.
Yeah, so I was just gotten back home from, you know, the war over there. I wanted to be a normal guy. You know, I had some things messed up.
Can't believe
me.
Live your life.
You want to readjust to civilian life.
Exactly. So there I was, right? In this small town, this policeman was giving me a little bit of lip.
Harassing you.
Yeah. Yeah, as they say. Well, I just wasn't going to stand for it. So I went up in them woods. And they accused me of doing no good, just like being a bad guy and everything. And, next thing I know, the entire Oregon National Guard's coming after me with the policemen, and I had to do some things. Really had to do some things.
Some things you're not proud of?
Some things I'm really not proud of.
You might regret.
They drew first blood.
Welcome back to the Fairweather Friends podcast. As always, I'm Vague.
On my left, I am Ricky.
Ricky's had a few drinks, you can tell, because he introduced himself for once. Once again with us, our friend Corey, in a special episode.
The point fiver?
A point fiver? We can call it episode 20.5.
I like it.
Corey stories.
Mm-hmm. That's right, that's me.
Corey Walton, who has done something that most people in this country won't do. I mean, you say most. It's a small percentage of people.
The fucking general minority will not.
The general majority. Yeah. The minority. Majority won't do, which is...
Fuck a fat bitch.
And fight for our freedom.
Okay.
Also, yeah. You're same right. Time. I can't say same no, time. Corey, not fuck a fat bitch, because it's...
You just try it. Just once.
I honestly...
That's probably your downfall right now in your dating life, Vig.
Yeah, no shit.
Fuck,
let's talk about Vague on this one.
I thought we were recording this for Corey stories.
Boom, trick.
Yeah, gotcha, bitch. I'm a gotcha, bitch.
Psych.
Oh, bitch.
We're really going to grill you on why you...
Look, I don't have an issue...
Is it because you're afraid of doing anal?
What does that have to do with fat chicks? What the...
Sometimes fat chicks like doing the butt stuff. Do you like doing the butt stuff, Vague?
Seems unrelated. I've never been asked about doing the butt stuff.
Never been pegged?
It's never gone down to the brown town.
No one I've been with has been like, let's do that.
Yeah, me matey. You look, never gotten up on the pirate ship and just, you know, got the whole peg in there?
Yarr. I thought we were doing core stories. What the hell happened here?
You got God, bitch. All right, well, let's see. Veg, do you remember that time? Remember the time we're up on Baker and... I fought the abominable snowman.
What the shit is happening?
I remember this.
What?
Yeah, Ricky was in the snow lodge.
I blacked it out, apparently.
You don't remember that at all? We were kids. So we were probably like, I don't know, maybe 13, 27.
So this
27,
is like the movie, the kid that would...
27, something like that.
So this is like the movie, the kid that would be king?
Yeah. So, well, I actually was. I am crowned of the... I am king of the abominable snowman in the northern Pacific Northwest region.
He's earned that right.
Yeah. So, we were up on chair 8, I believe. Chair 8.
Makes sense.
The one that goes all the way up to the top-ish.
No, but yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Well,
it's a long
we'll
chair.
We'll just agree to disagree.
One and six go to the top, okay, but that's
you're
fine.
You're wrong. That's fine. Chair 8 goes all the way up to the top. We got off the lift. We're like, oh, bro.
As you usually do at the top, Ricky.
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't just continuously ride the lift?
It's fucking semantics.
I want to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Fucking semantics.
I continuously ride the lift.
Oh, we're having another beer ski.
I don't know about you.
Let me get this pallet.
So for those listening, Chair 8 goes about... pop it up and maybe... Oh, well, then I'm leaving that to you because I don't know how the fuck to do that. Chair 8 goes about 3/4 away. It's a good hiking spot. A lot of guys are hiking.
Yeah, well, we hiked up to the top. That's probably...
We did. We hiked up to the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are you disagreeing with my story?
I'm not disagreeing.
You were there. We were like 11 or 27. One of the two.
I don't remember well, so I'm taking your word for it.
Yeah. So anyways, so as we're like going down, you're like, hey, bro, check it out.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. Totally. Well, back in the day, it did. You're not 27 anymore. Remember that.
Fuck, I'm not a 27 or 11. Shit.
We're going down, right? Going down at the groom run because you're like, oh, I'm afraid to go in the woods.
That doesn't sound like me.
But then I was like, hey, Veg. You're like, oh, what's that? Check it out.
Apparently, Corey's stories are made up stories by Corey. Go, continue.
This is 100% accurate. I don't know why you do not believe me. Ricky, do you believe me?
Of course I believe you.
Thank you, Ricky.
I'm thinking about going Comedy Bang Bang style and just becoming a character here.
This is him.
I'm barely the... No, I got nothing.
Please don't do accents.
I am the Indomitable Small Man.
So all right.
That's what he sounded like. So anyways, we took I believe it was a right, and we headed down into this little canyon. It was probably like 400, 500 feet.
Let me just say, taking a right is always wrong.
Well, this one, it was right. When you take a right, you're right.
Well... I mean, it was the wrong turn.
A right, but you're right. Prove me wrong.
All right, so we went right. It went bad.
You landed in my nest.
No, it didn't go bad. We took a right, and we went down like this 400 or 500 foot cliff that was a canyon.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And we went down, shooting down, and you're like, oh, Corey, I can't hold on. I don't know what you're holding on to, but you're holding on to something.
Most of what he said that I said, I can't believe that I would say that.
I think it was your gloves.
I'm a very good snowboarder, Ricky.
I'm pretty sure it was your gloves, your goggles or something. And I was in front of you because I was the boss.
All my equipment is pristine.
You're trying to hold on to reality because you couldn't believe what the hell was going on.
Yeah. And we're like slaloming through. We're like
slaloming. We're not on skis.
On a snowboard, dick face. We're like, and then. Or that. That's actually more accurate for you. And we stopped suddenly because in front of us was a fucking 8-foot abominable snowman.
Sounds a lot like Tenacious D coming across the devil.
That's not true at all. We stopped, right? Dead in our tracks. And there's this 8-foot abominable snowman. Fucking ruby red lips. I remember it to this day. I don't know why he was wearing lipstick. I didn't say he had lipstick. I said he had ruby red lips, equivalent to somebody wearing lipstick.
It's not standing out in my memory.
I think the lipstick you're talking about is his penis, and I don't know why you're looking at his penis.
I might have been looking at his penis
because he tried to rape my cat once. I remember this.
Only once, though. Come on,
twice.
No, yeah. Once.
So, anyways, so
this snowman creature had the penis of a dog?
Abominable snowman. Yeah. Similar like a dog, like a red rocket.
Yeah, but it was more like a lightsaber that came out right of his...
Whoa! So he's just a well-endowed dog.
Not a dog-like at all. It's a fucking lightsaber. What dog has a lightsaber, you idiot?
If it's long enough, it's going to look like a lightsaber.
God. So anyways, ruby red lipstick, giant, hung, 8-foot tall, pure white as snow, abominable snowman.
He's only 8 foot, huh? I could have taken him.
No, you couldn't have.
You were
a pussy back in the day. Well, you're still a pussy.
I was going to say, come on.
You're a pussy back in the day. But anyway.
Still a pussy.
You're like, you went like this. You went, ee! Not joking.
No, that sounds right. Sounds right.
That's 100% accurate. And next thing I know, this abdominal snowman saying,
what are you doing here?
I was like, fuck you, bud. And he was all like,
this is my land, motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
I gotta imagine I was telling you, hey man, calm down, dude.
No, you were basically in a fetal position.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense actually. I probably couldn't even speak.
His pants were around his ankles, offering up his culo to said abdominal snowman.
Yes, I will take this offering.
And I was like, no, bro, this ain't no offering.
This really sounds like the pick of destiny, but
it's not at all. The abdominal snowman was all like,
get in my pussy.
I was like, dude, you have a pussy too? He's like, no. I mean, he's like,
no. No. This is my glorious asshole.
I do believe he said
I knew
culo.
It was an asshole.
He said culo.
I was looking pretty close.
Yeah, but you're not bilingual, so it was culo.
Si es mi culo.
And then what happened, Corey?
And I was like, well, bro, you want to fight?
Yes.
It's like, shit.
I was not helping in that fight.
Yeah, I know you weren't. Still fucking culo hanging out there. Like, look in this brown town. Come and get it. You fucking had a neon sign saying, it's all yours, abominable. It's all yours, abominable. was like, Veg, pull your pants up. So I took off my snowboard. He took off his you know, ding dong that was a lightsaber, apparently.
He took it off?
Yeah, it's detachable. I didn't know this.
I was in field position. I didn't see any of this.
That's true. And then we started dueling.
Doing it?
Dueling.
Oh.
Get your fucking mind out of the gutter, you sicko. I was all whooshing. He was all footing. I was like, shwing.
What were you fighting with?
My snowboard.
Oh. That makes sense. Snowboard versus lightsaber. Okay.
I was all
shwing. This went on for a while.
Yeah. And then I kicked him in the chest.
No.
Then he fell down. And I teabagged him.
And then he said, that sucked. Come on, Jable. Oh, wait. Sorry. Pick of Destiny again. My bad.
Quit. This is not the Pick of Destiny.
My memories keep getting jumbled with the Pick of Destiny.
This is Glory right over here. This
Glory?
Yeah.
You remember that movie with Matthew Broderick? Sorry. Yeah.
That was the story of my life about the abominable snowman. Overcoming odds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Color. Race.
Okay. So you kicked him in the chest. He said no.
Yep. And then I teabagged him.
No.
Not cool.
Yeah, well.
Nuts in my face.
And then, pretty much we saved your life. So you just
continued on like nothing happened?
Yeah, you pretty much owe me your life.
I mean, I assumed that, and I didn't even remember all this. I repressed it all. We were, what, 12, you said? 13?
Like 27. 27. I forgot. This is the music that I was playing while we were fighting.
There was music playing?
I don't know where it came from either. It's like the angels came down from the heavens.
The abominable snowman must have been like, yeah, an angel or some shit, or maybe a devil.
No,
or a demon.
You, the fucking clouds parted, because that's the other part I forgot. It was a really cloudy day.
I mean, a lot of shit happened.
Yeah.
It's easy to forget.
Yeah, sure.
Details.
Clouds parted. And next thing you know, this fucking heavens orchestra was playing, and we were going to battle. I mean,
well, I wasn't.
I've got a scar.
You went to battle.
Yeah, I got a scar right here because he hit me in the face.
So he pointed his face for those not, you know, in the room.
Yeah, yeah. Shwing, ming, ming, shwing, 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 shwing.
That's right. Chewie was in the trees.
Chewie wasn't there. This is not Star Wars.
Well, you just made a Chewie sound.
That was actually me.
You were making that noise?
Yeah, when I ran at him.
I always thought it was Chewie was like watching from the trees because I was in the fetal position. I just heard that noise.
That's why you're ignorant. And I tackled him.
You guys know with improv, you always do yes and. But this is a true story. So I was just telling what really happened when I was there.
Yeah, it's not improv.
No.
A great story from our childhood / age 27.
It was somewhere between 11 and 27.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to remember exactly when things happen.
Well.
I mean, I went up to Baker recently. No events.
Yeah, nobody cares about you. Like, Ricky, did I ever tell you about the time that I was in Mexican cartel?
No, I've never heard of this.
Yeah, so there it was, 1987 something. I was down in... Are we even recording?
We're good. 1987. And you left off in 1987. What was your birthday again, Court? Never mind. It's not important. Yeah, 1987, Mexican cartel.
Yeah, okay. I was 2.5 years old. It's 1987 something, and it's eight.
You're obviously not familiar with the cartel, Vic.
No, I'm not. They recruit That's why young. Corey's here. For Corey's.
So anyways, I think we were down in Tenochtitlan.
Is that a real place? I don't know.
It is, yes, of course.
Okay. Cancun and Mazatlan, that's all I know.
I remember my very first memory as a kid is I was wearing a diaper made of cocaine, and they sent me back to America.
Aztec sacrifices?
I was unfamiliar with that at the time, but I was definitely a mule as a young Mexican child.
Cocaine diapers.
Yep.
I've never been that important. To anybody.
Well, you know.
I was so unimportant that they thought, well, if this kid dies, who cares?
Yeah, but you had thousands of dollars worth
into America.
No, you had thousands of
dollars. Isn't it, Ricky?
Dollars that might have been.
First dime.
I don't think that's unimportant, Ricky.
No.
They trusted you with thousands of dollars worth of cocaine.
You don't understand the cartel.
Did you ever have to keister an AK-47?
Of course. The ripe age of 5.
I thought that was, I was the only one.
Oh, kids across the country.
Listen, you ever keistered a fully loaded AK-47.
Keister.
Yeah, it's when
so you. So by keister, they mean
lube it, put it up your butthole.
You yep. stick it in a condom. Oh, maybe yeah. maybe three
you
or four.
You got a condom?
Three or four condoms.
I never got a condom.
It's because I'm Mexican.
Well, it's fair.
I was just a shitty gringo.
Okay, so cocaine mule.
Yes.
AK-45s in the ass.
Huh?
47s.
AK-47.
You not fucking listen?
Not really.
I'm a terrible radio host, by the way.
I'm reading the posters.
Reading the posters?
Yeah, Nightman Cometh, rock opera.
Oh, it's good because...
Sorry, the only poster. I'm reading the only poster.
So anyways, well, there it was with El Pancho Villa in Tenochtitlan, as they say.
Yep.
Because that's the name of the city?
As we're prone to say.
Yeah. You weren't fucking there, man. You know. You got me, Ricky. Fist bump.
Fist bump. Yeah, you got to say those things. You got to narrate.
It's true. So anyways, I had a knife probably about 8 inches long that I had to defend myself with because these clowns...
And this wasn't up your anus.
That one was not.
Okay.
No. Still had the AK-47 culo.
Just in case.
Keister to my culo, yeah. Yo soy un culo. Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're saying, Ricky. I don't speak Spanish.
So these clowns decided to put me in a sheep den.
Sheep den?
Yeah. And if you've ever met a roving pack of sheep who are hungry.
Have not?
Those fuckers. Ricky, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What? You just left that open-ended. They exactly. What?
You know exactly.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, man. You were there. Oh, man. Remember 89?
God damn it. I'm going to wonder shit. For the rest of my life.
No.
Oh, shit.
Let me paint a picture for you, Vic.
Are they fucking you?
It was brutal.
Are they beating you up?
It was atrocious.
Tackling you? Anything would be yeah. good.
Let's just say there were a lot of, you know.
A lot of open ends, if you know what I mean.
So anyways, this 8-inch blade of pure steel that I handcrafted, by the way. It's right from the age of 2.5 years old.
I learned. Didn't realize you were a blacksmith.
Yeah, I learned early.
Well done.
Lost that trade a long time ago.
You forgot how to blacksmith?
Probably out of necessity to function as a normal human being.
I mean, as yeah. humans, we can only yeah. learn so much. So if you want to learn yeah, something new, you got to forget something, right?
I equate this to the African child soldiers. That's pretty much what Ricky and I had to endure.
I'm mm-hmm. unfamiliar.
Yep.
African child shoulders? What did you say?
We would ride on each other's shoulders.
Yeah. And shoot AK-47s.
And you
from the hip.
Equate that to forgetting blacksmithing?
Yeah. And we would
you
keep
it. Try to do this and still run towards gunfire? Got
it. I wish you could see the demonstration. It was amazing. I have not. But now I completely understand having seen it.
Mm. Well... It sucked. So,
all right. So you got an 8-inch blade that
yeah,
you made yourself, but have since then forgotten.
Yep. No, I haven't forgotten about the blade.
No, I mean forgotten how to make it.
Anything. Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking ignorant.
Of course.
I thought it was clear. Sorry.
Anyway, so I'm in the sheep den. Sheep are coming at me. Like I'm fucking. It is Fight Club on steroids. Just these fucking sheep, just one after another, and I'm just foot.
So you're slaughtering them,
filleting them. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Just going ham on just getting after.
Going John Ham.
A man's got to feed his family.
Yeah. Exactly.
You had a family.
Yeah.
You were.
Listen.
2.5 still.
Well, yeah.
But with a fence.
My parents back home.
2.5 with a 14-year-old bride.
Brother.
14-year-old what?
14-year-old bride? You didn't get a 14-year-old bride?
No.
Oh, damn, Ricky. What hit the jackpot?
Well, clearly it's because I'm Mexican.
Well, duh.
I had the drugs.
They treated him way better than they treated you.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Well, they taught you a trade that you forgot.
You really should have... Well, I guess blacksmithing's not really that valuable anymore.
Yeah.
It's a niche.
It's a niche
market. Okay, so you slaughtered. No, you filleted.
Yeah,
an filleted. Entire herd of sheep.
Lamb based.
This is how good the man was at making knives.
You no. lamb based a bunch of lambs. Yeah. I'm guessing this knife needed sharpening afterward.
No, because I made not. It. It's pure amazing.
So it's like in Game of Thrones with Valyrian steel. You never need to sharpen it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Or like Lord of the Rings with the many.
swords with the cool names.
No, that's not how it works. Any of them.
Like Days of Thunder.
The NASCAR racing movie. All right, well, let's move on.
My blade was the sharpened femur of my younger brother who did not make it.
Oh, damn.
Cool. You guys know Matt, but you don't know.
I was
going to
say, younger than Matt, or was he before Matt, or how did that go?
Oh, Matt made it. Matt, I got him across because I was such the, you know, I
badass.
I got my cocaine across. Never had any problems. So that
cocaine
Matt
and Matt made it across, but brother number two.
But, however.
I didn't make it all the way across the border.
Was Phil a help, or was he a burden?
No, that dick was up in fucking Washington. I was down in Tenochtitlan with...
Phil wasn't even there with you?
Los El Pollo Gato Teomi Murphy.
Phil Gato.
That was his name. Why are you laughing?
This
is a serious story. I'm pouring my heart out for you.
Yo tengo un gato que se llama
Murphy. This has never been told.
This is you've heard it first.
So this whole time, Phil was up in Washington just living
mm-hmm.
a normal American life.
Yeah.
And you're down in Tenochtitlan, wherever
you're Tenochtitlan.
Tenochtitlan. Yes. Flaying sheep to survive.
Yeah.
No, wait, were these sheep attacking you, or you were just flaying them as like...
No, they're coming at me.
A business. Oh.
They're coming at me like a spider monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're trying to bite you.
They've got the hunger.
What do sheep do when they attack?
Monkey? Have you ever seen a spider monkey?
I have. I find it hard to believe a sheep.
I have. That's how you sound right now.
Lamb can't. Sheep can't do the same thing as a spider monkey. Yeah,
these sheep were also hoarding cocaine. Yeah.
They had cocaine in them too?
Of course.
Holy shit! Mm-hmm. This world.
This
in
is
Mexico,
before meth.
It's so hard for me to like grasp with my brain.
Right before meth. Yep. That's right. This is the '80s, Veg. You wouldn't understand.
That's true. You said 87.
They would take the pelt. They would keep the pelt intact, and they would pack the cocaine under the pelt.
Mm-hmm. I can't question you guys' clear knowledge of this. So,
those were rough days.
So Ricky got a 14-year-old bride.
Yes.
A diaper of cocaine.
Yes.
Went right through into America.
Of course.
Yeah.
No problem. Mexican.
I mean, who would stop?
No problem. Yeah. Who was it? Reagan?
Corey, you were a gringo.
Reagan's borders were... They were so easy to cross.
They were so loose.
Yeah.
The borders, yeah. Man, before just, Bush, the borders were open.
Every time that Reagan...
Immediately.
Sneezed,
yeah.
The borders just
go. They just sucked in Mexicans.
Yeah. Just...
I don't know what that was.
30 to 40 Mexicans each
yeah,
clap.
Yeah, for some reason, the gringo...
Yeah.
The white dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I basically look. I look had to put I look African. So,
you threw an AK-47 up your anus.
Naturally, yes.
I keistered it. Don't say like I did it for
keistered
fun.
It. So, you
one of your butt plugs.
So, I'm just catching everyone up. You keistered an AK-47. Ricky, you said you keistered one also, but you got condoms.
Yep.
Went right into the U.S. with it.
Mm-hmm. Mine was raw.
Corey got raw dogs with a 47. Mm-hmm. AK-47. Mm-hmm. Keistered it, and then
I didn't do it for fun. Let's just clarify.
This is a necessity.
Oh, all right. Work. Honestly, I wasn't sure. Fun.
It felt horrible going in. But
keistered
it
out of
there. It was just
so. It was one of those things. Like, look, I'm not doing this because I like it, but it does feel kind of good.
Eventually, yeah.
Okay, you get used to it. And then for some reason, you were. I guess I don't understand why you were attacked by these sheep.
They had to get you. Huh? Right, they had to get you into America somehow.
Yeah, it was it was kind of like a sheep fighting ring.
A sheep fighting ring.
Yeah, it was like this is the ultimate sheep fighting den.
Okay.
That's the USFC.
So they put you in this to fight
USFCD, Ultimate Sheep Fighting Championship Den.
That's what it was.
USFC.
FCD.
FCD Den. Sorry.
Yes.
Because we like to fight in dens.
Okay, so they sent you in to fight an entire herd of sheep with an 8-inch knife, which you crafted yourself.
This guy right here.
Impressive. And you did it. You filleted them. All right. So
some would say lamb-based.
His was a blade.
Lamb-basted, lamb-basted.
Mine was bone.
Yeah. Yeah, Ricky had a...
Just straight. I watched him do it, too. It was amazing.
Watched him do what?
Create this knife out of bone.
You watched him make
fucking
it.
Fucking pay attention
to you guys. Sword. Okay, so you guys, I'm just trying to get my head around this. So you guys were kind of in like the same like child slavery camp. right?
That's how we met. We already been over this.
All right. Yep. All right. So, and then Ricky was like, here's a diaper T-town. Cocaine.
That's what we like to call it.
Yeah.
Here's a diaper cocaine and an AK-47 with three condoms around it up your anus.
And yes. A 14-year-old bride.
Keister. 14-year-old bride,
here's your bride. Go to America.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rick, Corey, they're like, gringo, fucking piece of shit. Go
he had the hard fight route.
These sheep.
We took the same route.
His to that
went up. We went up through Tijuana.
Yes.
We got stopped at the border.
Makes sense.
Ricky's like, fuck you, Negroes. I'm out, bitches.
This is America.
I'm in America.
Classic Ricky.
Welcome to naturally. America.
I mean, he's like that to this day, so anyone will believe that.
Welcome basically to all America. Fucking, yeah.
And then you had to fillet. You had a tougher route from this point where you filleted these sheep, and then
so I went left off the coast, and I decided to swim. And little known fact, at 2.5 years old, I was already world class swimmer.
So you're on the east coast of Mexico?
He had intense scuba training. East coast.
You went left, north.
I'm going north.
So you went off the east coast.
That'd be the west.
How did you go off north of Mexico?
I went north at Tijuana, right at the border.
Yes.
So you swam down the Colombian River?
The Colombian River?
By Washington. My man was in the ocean.
That's the border.
Out in Tijuana, Mexico, going into California.
Where's Tijuana?
San Diego.
In Mexico?
Tijuana, Mexico.
Yeah, so the Mexican California border. That's.
Yeah.
Oh, the Columbia River is Washington Oregon border.
There you go. Yes, yes,
dumb. There you go.
Yes.
See. But you were on some sort. What? I don't know how you swam left after going north.
I went left.
What body of water were you in?
The Pacific Ocean. Maybe you've heard of her.
Wait, so you went out west then, not north. And then you swam.
Due north.
Did you swim due north?
High already.
I'm not high. I wish I was high. It would make more sense.
All I said was I went left at the border.
So you just walked toward the coast?
Yeah.
Okay.
I took a Louis.
And then got into the Pacific Ocean.
And then got in the Pacific Ocean.
Now, when you're in the Pacific Ocean, which way did you swim? North or south? Around,
I went, 40 miles out.
You swam 40 miles off the coast first. That was your first choice to swim 40 miles away from the coast.
You got to get an international.
Half race. Choice, half riptide.
That's true, actually.
They teach you this.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not going to say yes. I'm just trying to understand it. Okay.
Look, about 10 miles in, I befriended a great white shark.
Good choice.
Put a saddle on him.
The shark was named Barry.
Yeah.
Wait, Barry. What do you mean you put a saddle on him?
Well, how else am I going to fucking ride
him? All right, good. You're correct. All right, my bad.
Skin is.
The man was an expert blacksmith. He was also, he wasn't an expert, but he was so good at crafting leather. Like, he could make anything out of leather.
Yeah, that's right.
It's ridiculous.
Anything.
Anything you need.
All right, so you're swimming.
Make you a fucking triple-sided dildo.
You got a great white shark. You're on his, you're in the saddle.
Peg
the shit. On a great white shark in the Pacific Ocean.
Peggy so hard.
Yes.
Pegasaur?
No, I'm riding this great white.
Okay.
We're going all the way out into international waters. And I'm like. going all the way up, right? Eventually, I enter the Puget Sound. And I'm like, shit. There's not supposed to be great whites in this bitch. So I had to ditch the bitch at the Straits of Juan de Fuca.
You ditched a great white.
Yep.
Bold.
Yep. And then I swam the rest of the way. And by the time I got to the Whidbey Island, I was so goddamn tired.
Swimming to Whidbey Island.
It was truly heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Hearing that Corey had to leave a shark.
Yeah.
So when you found this out like 12 years later,
yeah,
you were like, that breaks my heart.
Yeah, because I went into America, grew up in California.
I said, you had been there a while.
Yes.
I mean, because how long was this trip, Corey? Like this whole swimming and... So first you... First you filleted a herd of sheep. You walked to the border.
Land-based
a herd of sheep. Walked to the border through Tijuana. Mm-hmm. Took a left till you got to the coast.
Yeah.
Swam.
Thank God you actually understand your cardinal directions now.
Yeah. Swam. Got on a great shark.
A great shark? It was a fucking great white shark.
Sorry, I forgot the word white. Great white shark.
I named it Barry.
Barry the great white shark.
I made my own saddle out of kelp.
Yes. The man
so all this took
anything.
About what? Before, by the time you got to Whidbey Island?
About 10 years.
So yeah. Ricky has been in America for about 10 years.
Yeah,
I was learning
close.
The trade.
I mean, maybe 6 months to get to the border, and then you're in America.
Still in his cocaine diaper.
With your of course. What? Okay, first, Ricky, I gotta ask. What happened to the 14-year-old bride?
14-year-old bride.
So you started out at like, well, first of all, technically like 6 months old.
Yeah, six. Yep. And I was 2.5
so
when all this was going on.
So she's probably carrying you to the border.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in America. You're
she
walking.
Was posing, obviously.
You're walking. What happened to this bride?
She was beheaded.
In America?
Yes, in America.
Homage to get across the border.
Wait, we do this in America?
Little known fact, yeah.
Yes, of course.
I gotta say, guys, I'm against.
Why do you think we need the border wall?
I'm against beheading immigrants. That's just my stance.
So you're telling me she was my bride.
I mean, do you really remember? Like, you were so you're like 1.5. Corey, so I'm Corey, for, right for those who can't see, Corey is very.
It's
compassionately.
Thank you, sir.
Corey is very compassionately putting his arm on Ricky's shoulder and supporting him. I mean, this is. I mean, we're talking 30 years ago plus now, but. Do you remember Consuela?
I remember her.
We're a lot younger than you, Corey. We weren't two. We were 6 months at that time.
Fair enough.
I'm sitting up in Cedar Woolley, living a perfect middle American life. Yes.
I have her tattoo on my chest.
How much do you have Consuela's tattoo on you?
Her likeness, yes. So when she was 14.5 years old.
It's a very nice homage. Or
it was the least I could do.
What's the word for
she
that?
She got me into America.
Homage. Memorial, homage, yeah. So she got you in America, but... Her cost was being beheaded,
yes.
You got to continue on with your diaper of cocaine.
Of course.
Where did you go?
You didn't get to. I mean, it was kind of an honor.
Yeah.
He was honored.
It was a great honor to be bestowed upon this.
Did you get like a... Did people like walk you into America to honor you? Like, hey...
Yeah, that while I got into America from Consuela.
Yeah.
She brought me into America.
So it was an honor because she gave her life for you to have to live the American dream.
My earliest memory is going to the Forum, you know, in LA.
Oh, so you came up through California.
Yes, this is why I'm a Lakers fan.
That's why?
Yeah.
I feel like we've discussed this, and I've never... Honestly, I feel like I don't know either of you.
Well,
none of this has ever come up.
This is why we have a podcast.
None of this has ever come up in our previous discussions as friends.
Have you...
Did you know that the first person I ran into when I got off that shark at...
in Whidbey Island?
No, at the Strait of Juan de Fuca was Deadlift Shrimp. He was doing laps in the strait.
You went down to the Strait of Juan de Fuca?
Of course.
Down?
How else would he make it into Washington?
Yeah.
Isn't the Strait of Juan de Fuca under South America?
No.
I'm thinking wrong strait?
Yes.
Damn it. I'm terrible at knowing things. What strait is between South America
You would never
and North
survive
America?
In the cartel, buddy.
I think it's Hormuz. Not Hormuz.
I'm looking this up. I might not be wrong. You never know. Damn,
but anyway, right. As I was saying,
Strait of Juan de Fuca between Canada and us. What's the one in between South and North America?
The Panama Canal.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I recognize that name also. yep, Strait of Juan de Fuca right here by Seattle. All right, your story holds up.
Yes.
Keep going.
It's not that easy to retell.
So you came up through California. Corey got to jump. I mean, now,
no,
granted,
see,
10 years later,
I had the easy
he got to start
road.
All the way up at Whidbey
I had
Island.
The easy road. I got to stay on land. My man over here.
The
got
shark.
Cast out into the ocean.
That's true. But I got to meet Deadlift Shrimp.
It's true.
Now, at the time, was he a Sonic or a Pacer?
Sonic.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Or was he a Husky?
Was he a Husky?
He was a Husky.
Did I grow up in Washington? I feel like none of this sounds familiar.
I don't even know you anymore.
Strait of Juan de Fuca, shrimp being a husky. None of this makes sense. Maybe
so anyway,
I grew up in another country.
It was during 1991 season.
Season? Like basketball season?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Jesus. Human trafficking happens a lot during professional sports games.
Especially when you work at a rub and tug shop that Robert Kraft goes to.
Of course.
I mean, can you blame him?
Blame him? No. End of answer.
Blame him? No.
All right. So you came up through California, child trafficking.
Yes.
Yeah. So who took you in? Who raised you?
A group of street thugs.
Street thugs. Okay. Mm-hmm. In Cali.
Yes.
Makes sense. I can see that.
There was a Mexican gang, obviously.
Yeah, no other race would have taken you in.
Los Picante Tamales.
Los Picante Tamales, I heard of them.
Yes.
Very famous. They're very ruthless. Back in the 80s.
A lot of bloodshed.
Oh, you don't even want to know.
Spit sauce all over the place.
It's How weird. Long before you let them know your diaper was made of cocaine?
Oh, they knew.
Right away, huh? Oh, they were looking they for knew. You.
Yes.
That was the connect. That's where I was supposed to go, too.
Why? Okay.
What do you mean, why?
Well, so why did you go to the why did you go to the ocean?
Because I had to. I was forced across.
So this is what we I think this is what we kind of stopped at. What kept you from crossing into America?
The fucking gringos.
So then you had to go to the ocean.
Yeah.
To the shark.
Yeah. The Rio de Janeiro was fucking, too deep.
I just hate white people.
The shark was totally unexpected. No one expected Corey to be able to manipulate a beast of that size.
You're saying
at this age.
You're saying they thought he would die.
Was a big feat.
We thought he would
when
die.
When he didn't get through the border, they thought, oh, fuck him.
Just disregard this gringo. We're never going to see him again.
How's that feel, Corey? Knowing you were left for dead.
Well.
And that Ricky was, just by being Mexican, enough in the inner circle that they told him, oh, that gringo's dead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's a little hurtful. A little hurtful, but you know what?
Does it take away from your guys' friendship?
No, I think it just adds to my perseverance.
Yes. You know? The man had survival skills.
I respect your perseverance twice as much now.
I'd never expected to see him again. I never thought he would survive.
And then of all places.
And yet, come to find out.
Cascade Middle School.
The man.
All comes back together. Yes.
Like, that's really where we reconnected.
Sure. Around like age 10, 12.
You're talking about you were 12 when you got to Whidbey Island. Ricky had lived this long, so you feel like you had it bad because you had to walk through Tijuana, you had to go to the ocean, get a shark.
I didn't say I felt feel like I've had it bad.
No? Okay.
I mean, Ricky had cat foos.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, shoot an N-word.
Nobody ever trusts, never.
I was going to say, he had to live, baby. He basically grew up in a gang.
Yeah. I mean, no one thought I could hold an AK-47 in my asshole whenever I was 2.5 years old.
Years. You grew up in a gang. Who do you guys think has killed more people?
Oof, that's tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
It's me. I bombed the... Never mind. This isn't about me. This podcast isn't about me.
Yeah. Thank God, because it would be 4 hours long.
I got a lot of issues. My parents never visited me in Pullman. I mean...
I'm sorry, Vic.
My dad did. My mom didn't. And stepdad. Where did
Nikki go to school at?
My mom was crucified.
Spokane.
In the annals of Mexico.
The annals? Yep. Fucking annals. No, yeah, this isn't about
Mexico. I remember that.
Corey was still in Mexico at that time.
They feasted on her innards for weeks.
Corey, Whidbey Island. You show up at Whidbey Island. Mm-hmm. You ditch the shark. Smart move, by the way.
The bluffs are out there?
Huh?
The bluffs? Big old...
I don't. Ricky?
The bluffs, yes, of course.
What the shit? How does he always know? No. I don't. Explain
well,
it.
Well, so it's a big, you know.
Wall. You're doing hand motions on a podcast.
Straight up, 90 degrees.
Straight up. Now tell me, do you really want to love me forever? Oh. Just hit and run. Anyways, it is a, we'll just call it a rock face.
Okay, cliff.
Made out of sand.
A cliff made out of sand. Okay.
But it's up and down. Very tough to get up and down.
And this is on Whidbey Island.
Yep. So I fashioned a rope out of kelp.
A lot of stuff out of kelp. You.
What else do you have in the fucking?
This is probably why you forgot
the man knows his resources.
You basically turned blacksmithing into how to work kelp instead of metal in your brain.
You ever seen Tom Hanks Castaway?
Loosely based on Corey's story. An ice skate to get a tooth out.
Loosely based on Corey's story.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Loosely.
So you didn't work for UPS beforehand?
No, he worked for the cartel.
Yeah. Where is that? But the only thing that didn't happen is Tom Hanks didn't ride a great white shark. Basically everything else is
shitty raft. Not good. Yeah. The shark would have been better.
Yeah. So anyways, I basically figured out a way to make a kelp rope and I did a little couple 360 numbers with some rope.
He's making a motion with his hand of spinning rope like a lasso.
By the way, I took another shark that we beat up. Me and my great white Barry, we beat up the shark.
Of course.
Took its mouth bits.
Teeth?
Yeah.
Jaw and teeth. Okay. Humberry beat up the southern shark. You took his jaw and teeth, and you fashioned it with the kelp, I'm assuming, into like a what do they call that? The spike that you throw it up and it catches onto stuff.
Grappling hook.
Grappling hook. Thank you. So I'm assuming. Oh, sorry. I made an assumption. Is that what you're gonna say? What you gonna say? You guys fashioned
that out of the teeth and not the fin.
I'm sorry, I just get choked up every time I keep telling the story.
Because Barry, I mean, you lost Barry.
I didn't lose Barry. I set him free.
Oh, okay. That's a better way to look at it.
Yeah. There's another dick, Larry.
Yeah, I think Barry ditched him.
Fuck you. I heard that.
I thought only Ricky would hear that.
So anyways, yeah, so made a grappling hook out of some kelp and, you know, Jaws' teeth, a.k.a. Larry, that fucking asshole. And I...
It's Larry. Fucking Larry. No, honestly... I could tell by the stories. If I had known Larry, I would have been like, you know what? I would rather not have a great white shark than have you, Larry.
To put up with this guy.
Fuck you.
So anyway, so I go scaling up this 150-foot cliff face. That is a bluff. And I'm hand over fist and just really getting into it. Just getting into town. Just fam, 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 fam.
So, I mean, for you, it was kind of like... For you, it was kind of like, just to compare it to something now that someone can relate to, it's like a Friday night with a pocket pussy. Like just...
just pumping.
Yeah, just really pumping. Going to town.
Pumping and pumping.
Right. Just pumping real hard.
But with a kelp rope.
Well, kind of like...
But with a kelp rope instead of a pocket pussy.
Sorry, ladies,
you probably don't relate to this.
Yeah, it's almost like that song by the notorious Salt-N-Pepa.
Push it real good.
But it was pump it, pump it real good. Pump it
real good.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I just kept singing that song over my head. Actually, little known fact: I when I got up to the top, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna send this song into Hollywood, and they didn't want to use the verse "pump it." They wanted to use the verse "push it," and so you know, in so facto, this guy wrote that song. No big deal.
You're right, no big deal.
They don't want to give glory to the cartel.
No, I mean, you don't want to promote drug use when promoting songs.
What are you gonna do? So, anyways, yeah, I wrote a song that you know it's probably gonna go in the top five. Songs of all time, you know, on somebody's Mount Rushmore of songs.
And this is the coast of Whidbey Island, huh?
Yeah.
I don't remember such a steep coast. Okay.
Carrier pigeon. That's how it works. You say plane delay. Wow.
Sorry.
Maybe pay the fuck attention to our songs, our stories.
I'm paying attention. Okay. So your grappling hook with Larry's jaw up a bluff at Whidbey Island.
We're past that. I'm already on top.
Yep.
He's
the top of Whidbey Island. We have to get to how we met. We re-met.
So you all of a sudden... You finally made it.
America.
But you're in America. You're in Whidbey Island.
I'm not the real American yet, though. Too soon.
Okay, so not American, but you're in America.
Yeah.
And I was making my way through California in the heartlands of Oregon.
Stealing hearts?
Oh, this point you're already up to Oregon. You cruised through California.
It took about 10 to 12 years.
Now,
yeah, but you should see the trail of
trail
misery
of tears.
And
trail of tears.
Tears and, you know, just the amount of blankets and sheets. Poxicillin type things that he just left in his wake.
Yes.
My main question, Ricky, is how did you get out of the gang? Because I have heard a lot of
Los
things.
Tamales?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of
Los
like
picante
having to
tamales.
Beat out of the gang or things like that. Did you do that or did you just like ghost?
I heard, before you answer this, I heard that you you may or may not have hooked up with the gang leader's brother. Or is it sister?
Sister?
Sister. I impregnated.
No, daughter?
It wasn't the brother.
You fought the brother.
There was no dick. However, I impregnated the leader's wife.
Oh, you didn't meet this person at a gym and be like, wow, you know, oh, you're getting that surgery soon?
I tried. He shut me down.
Why are you always trying to make transsexual surgery as part of the stories?
They're definitely a part of the story.
It happens. Yeah. But I feel like Corey. Oh, let me tell you. I feel like Corey assumes it's a part of every story. It's not all of them.
I've seen many men get lost in that world.
All right. All right. Look.
Sometimes I get confused. There's like four dudes from his gang back then.
I grew up in a very sheltered community. So
there were four dudes in his gang in Southern Cali that, you know, got the whole snip snip.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
Four of them.
Out of like 40?
Yeah, need I remind you that I'm just hearing, these are all stories that I heard secondhand when it finally got
while you were still in Mexico.
No, I made it all the way up there. These are the stories that had traveled.
Afterward, the legends of Ricky Reyes.
Yes.
Ricardo.
Okay.
And I had impregnated the leader's wife. And she...
I mean, I assume the leader's wife is fucking hot. Like, he's not with her because she's, like, a good cook. Right?
Wrong. The tamale gang started from her cooking.
She was a great cook.
She was terrible looking. However, I impregnated her, and she knew they would be out for blood. So she sent me up to Washington. Oh, never in a million years did I think I would run into Corey Weldon.
Who you grew I thought, up in fucking supposedly you grew up with him to
I thought he survived. Yes.
Not maybe knowing he failed.
Maybe 2 to 3 days after the sheep, after the what was it?
The lamb basting of sheep.
Yes, after lamb basting
so
of sheep.
You knew he was going to go get sent to the sheep, and you figured, oh, that'll kill him.
I figured he was dead. I figured he was as good as dead. Mm-hmm. Never thought I would see him again.
And however, instead, oh, I failed.
That's right.
Both
That's
of right. you, both of happened. You, overcame the odds.
What happened? Comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
You gotta take a stand. You don't have to hide. We got that view song now.
Probably.
I can never let it slide.
Nor can I. Yeah, see, at this point in the story, I've been fighting for the rights of every man.
He was a real American.
Yeah, probably about 5 years at this point.
I mean, you had the gang's wife who actually assisted you in your escape to Washington to get out of Cali.
Yes.
And thank God it's not like in the movies where every gang boss has fucking connections everywhere in the entire world, which that is unreal.
They did. Little known fact was I took them out when I was fighting for the rights of every man.
So when you got to Washington, you end up murdering the connections they have with the, I already forgot the gang name.
Los Picantes. Tamales.
How can you not forget a name like that?
I'm right here. It's 20 minutes, you know, I've heard the story. I don't remember, but Los Picantes Tamales. Tamales?
Of course Corey would have a bloodlust.
Yeah.
For those
so when
who
you
were
finally
wrong,
got there, yeah. a vengeance was on your mind.
Yeah. They scarred my culo.
Question, how did you find these guys?
Well, pretty much sniffed them out. See, I've got an incredible sniffer for criminal justice.
A nose for justice.
You can smell crime even before it's happened?
Yeah, and then I like to take a bite out of it.
The sixth sense?
Yes.
A sixth sense for crime.
Nobody knew.
You just kind of, I mean, it wasn't hard for you as someone who grew up in this organization to be able to tell basically where they were, what they were doing. Like, hey, that's that seedy area. Is Los Picantes Tamales. Fuck them.
Yeah, well, it also helps that they just wear t-shirts that says Los Picantes Tamales.
It's kind of funny because in the newest Marvel movie, Fury has Captain Marvel put on a hat, a shield hat, and she literally criticizes him in a sarcastic comment, like, oh, is wearing clothes with your, you know, secret organization on it part of, you know, being, I forget the word she uses, but is a part of your being secret? It's and definitely. He's just kind of like, oh, I didn't even think of that. Like, that's the 80s, right? That's about the time that you're talking. And apparently gangs are just wearing shirts with their, like, hey, like, I'm a Los Picantes Tamales gang member.
This is like 97 when I started going on MySpace.
I was saying, so yeah, you had 10 years. So, but it's still, like, even in the mid-90s, they're just wearing clothes with their, like, secret organization on them.
Of course.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, nowadays, you use a hashtag. Mm-hmm. You know, you have secrecy. A couple secret.
Like, hashtag ISIS is gay.
It's one of my favorite hashtags.
Yeah, you look at that hashtag?
We really need to start using the hashtag.
All terrorists.
I feel like, Ricky, honestly, just to put a pause on this a little bit, I feel like I should have known some of this before we started a podcast together.
Well, like,
you could have given me a little bit of your background.
Like, this is why we started.
We were even less of Fairweather Friends than I realized.
Under the moniker Fairweather Friends, because I didn't know if I could trust you fully until you Corey can't. Came.
I will tell everybody. This is interesting. All right. So where are we at even? Ricky's into Oregon now.
You want to get lambasted too, motherfucker?
No.
I've seen him do it. Human or not?
You tell everybody.
Well, apparently not, but have you done it to humans also?
Of course.
With that 8-inch knife?
Can't confirm nor deny.
He took out every you Washington member.
This is a podcast. You don't need to look away. No one can see you.
Of Los Tamales Picantes.
They're making me very uncomfortable right now. But last I heard, Ricky's in Oregon. Has been helped escape. I'm trying to change the subject so you stop focusing on how much I'm taking interest in this and focusing on me.
Well,
Ricky's as, in Oregon.
Yes. And as you recall, Corey was
scaling the bluffs of the Whidbey Island bluff.
I've already made it up at this point. I'm fighting crime.
Oh, that's right. So you've killed the people that would be looking for Ricky in Washington.
Yeah. I've pulled the turned the other
so
at 12 and a half.
Inadvertently, Corey made it safe for me to be there.
Unintentionally. Yep. And then you guys end up in the same town in Washington, end up going to the same middle school where you're just pretending to be normal kids.
Irony.
Yep.
Is that the definition of irony?
Very definition of irony.
I am taken aback.
Yeah, that's when, you know, we started playing basketball outside of school and
I'm going to be honest. This all should have been on the first podcast of Corey.
Don't you remember those couple of guys that are up to no good?
Making trouble in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Got in one little fight.
Hey, Ricky, you did. You got in one little fight, and then your mom got scared.
Yeah. She said she'd move me to my auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
Bel Air, Washington.
From Mexico?
Well, Bel Air is close to LA.
Bel Air's in California. Is that where you... that why you left Mexico with the cocaine and the wife?
I had no idea. I had a rich aunt and uncle in Bel Air. Nobody had told me this. I thought I was fighting for my life. Little did I know.
You were just on a... well, I mean, you were in a way, but maybe that was their way of raising you, teaching you to be a man.
It was pretty much predisposed that I would be back into Southern California.
Man, I think I lived a life where I just like played sports with other kids. Went to school, hung out. And next thing I know, I'm 32 and don't know how to like be an adult.
Yep. And little did you know, me and Corey had been an adult since we were 2 fucking years old.
You assholes didn't tell me. I mean, I guess I never. I mean,
couldn't trust you till now.
Did you think you were prepared for this?
In your defense, I didn't ask ever.
I'm sure you didn't.
I did not care about your guys'.
In our defense, we were never really ready to talk about this.
No. Oh well, so even if I'd asked, it would have been a no go.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Never know.
Ricky a no-go, Corey a maybe. Okay. I'm going to lie. Thrilling story. Ricky, it doesn't sound like you had to do anything too terrible, but you kind of yada-yadded over the whole living in a gang thing. Like, how old were you when you impregnated the wife?
My little brother die, and I formed a sword out of his femur.
Well, how did Matt... okay, so how did...
that's pretty horrible.
Were you just like, was Matt... on your hip the whole time? You just bring Matt along with you the whole time? Or
Matt was shipped up to Washington.
Mm-hmm. And Phil fucking just got a free trip to... I mean, he was in Washington before. So, with that, were you born in Washington and then shipped down to Mexico?
No.
Born and raised in Tenochtitlan.
So was he born in Washington, Mexico. And then your mom came down, had you in Mexico, and just left you there?
Mm-hmm. They forgot
fucking
me.
I'm not gonna lie, I respect her more now than I did before.
They forgot me.
It was, no, honestly, it was the best way for you to learn to be a man.
Most troubling time of my life.
I'm sorry, Corey. I mean, our point of this podcast is not to make you relive these terrible times. We're not trying to make you cry. I mean, we hope you do because we feel like it'll be better for downloads.
Of course.
And that's really our only goal is downloads.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
Oh, Ricky's brother Matt, who he dragged through California, just showed up with some food. No, I mean, thank you guys for going through such a hard story. I mean, that's not easy to tell about that
stuff.
Type of things in your life.
It's tough.
To think all this started with the abominable snowman when me and Corey were 14.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you guys are opening
little
up.
Little
did about,
you know, that was not even the beginning.
I mean, to think about it, I've been pushed that life. Memory back. I was, what do they call that? When you repress a memory? I repressed that one memory of the abominable snowman and Corey fighting him. And you guys have to live with all these memories of being drug mules in
Lamb
Mexico. Mexican. Corey not even being good enough to be a drug mule on being
cast into the
cast
ocean.
Away to survive for himself. Little did anyone know he would.
Well, Ricky was always the better man.
I was never the better man. I was just a darker man.
Turns out in Mexico, it pays to be a Mexican when you're trying to be a drug mule.
Exactly.
That's about it. That's our story.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
This has been a Northern State Podcast Productions.